What's up? Welcome back to another episode of Rank 'Em All, the show where we take one band's entire discography, go down every single song, rank them suckers, give you guys our viewpoints, and then we go from there. Today, as always, I am the Podfather Nate, joining me back once again. You know him, you love him. He is the Podmaster Brando. Welcome back, my dude.
Thank you for having me once again on this series, this season, if you will, of Rank 'Em All. This time we are, of course, covering Ghost, and we're moving right along to the second album, which still have trouble saying the name of. I always say it wrong.
Let's do it right now. Infestissimum.
Infestissimum.
Yeah,
you did it.
Hey, it's not too
bad.
Right
away.
You know what? It almost sounds Japanese, which I need to get brush up on since I'll be going there, but I digress. We are not alone, Nate. Of course, we have our roster here as well. We have the incomparable, the one and only stepdad of the Journey into Comics Network and of Rank 'Em All, the one and only Tyler McLaughlin. How you doing, bud?
I won't spank your butt, but I will be your stepdad. I'm all right.
I felt a twinge, I won't lie. Definitely got some tickles going on in the trousers. But I'm so happy to have you here as well.
Oh, man. That was my opportunity at my Master Roshi moment to just try and be as weird as possible, and it worked.
Great success.
That's what I appreciate about you.
Awesome. And also joining us once again, you guys know her and love her from everywhere. She is featured Sister Crimson herself, Andy Crimson. Welcome back to the show.
What's up, guys? Thank you. Thank you again for having me back. I'm super excited about this episode.
Well, you're part of the team now, damn it. So there's no going back. Like, we're locked in, you know. This is how it's going for this one. But yeah, we are here for Infestissimum, the second album in Ghost's discography. There are so many little tidbits and things to talk about when talking about this album. It does come out April 10th, 2013. So it is actually a 10-year-old album officially at this point, which is pretty cool to actually think about and realize that, weirdly enough, this is about as long as I've been into Ghost. Infestissimum was my introduction to this band. And as we get to where that happened, I'll divulge the story a little bit more, but today we're just gonna lock up and right out the gate, let's talk about it. The first track on the album is the self-titled track, Infestissimum. Isn't really a track, but it is a track. It is a great introduction. Brando, I want to start with you, man. What are your takeaways from the intro to the album?
Well, it's another intro track, just like the previous album. However, this one actually seems to be doubled as like an intro to the real first song on the record, which is like, I always appreciate that. Like, you know, one of my favorite albums is Symphony X, Paradise Lost. And
absolutely,
you know, the very intro track of that really sets the tone, and it goes right into that second track. And you're like, it's like you don't have to listen to it. You know, you can just go right to the next track if you want, but like, you know, we talked about on the last one, it's like, well, okay, it sets the tone, but then it just ends, and then the next song starts. Where no, it goes right into it. It's a tone setter for sure. The church like chanting goes well with the beat, and it makes your head nod a little bit. But ultimately, like with almost any intro track ever, it's not really necessary, except for when you're going to start a live show and you have a track playing and it gets the crowd pumped up to play that first song off the record for you to go right into it. So they have their purpose.
Awesome. Andy, what were your takeaways from track one?
Well, I really appreciate how much more powerful it sounded compared to the last intro track. Gave me the thought like, oh, I know what I'm going to expect from this band, from this album, but so much more. And then at the same time, it's like, what's around the corner? I really did appreciate the Latin and like how Brando said about the beats and just having that power and nodding your head. And I bet I was wondering, did they ever play this live? Because this would be so sick just to open up. Yeah, we're at a Ghost show. And I think it's a pretty strong track, even though it's just an intro track. I was really, really enjoying this one.
I'll get back to you guys on the stats if they ever actually played Infestissimum live other than just as a backing track. But real quick, I'm going to throw my thoughts before we give it up to TY. My first thought, interestingly enough, honestly, I'm, you know, because like, okay, we're ranking it now, so I need to have a different appreciation for what I'm listening to. I put the headphones on, hit play. First thought is Undertaker. Just the Gregorian chanting. It just gave me like the Druids vibes. You go from the chant to a headbanging jam, like literally like you guys both said so far, like it immediately gets you grooving into it. I think this is a great lead off to the album. And I really like towards the end, especially, it has such trippy guitar vibes when it's like doing that.
That's exactly what I was going
to
bring up.
Okay. So TY, I'm going to kick it over to you. Take it away.
So, everything that you guys said, 100%, this one really took me by surprise. There was more than once, especially when, because I listened to it, whenever we're doing rank, I like to listen to the album in the sequential order. You know, to me, that's the way that it's intended to be listened to. They organize the songs on the album for a specific reason. So I try and stay as true to that as possible. But more than once, as the rotation was going around, the album had started over and I didn't realize it. Busy doing whatever. And the transition or the flow from this intro track right into track two is so good. More than once, I couldn't even tell that the song, that the intro had stopped and the next track had started at all. The backing vocals in like the early mid totally sets the tone. And then that guitar in the back third, it just totally steals it. I was a little bit disappointed that it wasn't a little bit longer, you know, that's a totally non-characteristic of me to say, but yeah, definitely a good one.
They left you wanting more for sure.
100%, dude.
So let's go ahead and throw our ranks out. Let's just go in the reverse order. So TY, what'd you give it?
I'm going to rank this one a 7.
I gave it a 7.25. Andy, what about you?
I gave it 8.5.
Yeah, Brando.
7.
Okay, we're all right in there.
7.
Cool. All right, so the next track album is Per Aspera ad Inferi. I think I said that right.
Boy, I'm glad you're hosting this one.
But it means, so everybody is clear, through hardships to hell. So essentially it is saying it's a play on a Latin phrase. It's like through hardship we survive, but it's switched to hell as in like through the hardships we find our way to hell, which is kind of, I fucking love that about this band. They're just dark and brooding in the coolest ways. We're going to go by the book. Cause like I said, I have it all lined up. So TY, let's start off with you this time. Seamless transition from the last to this one.
Yeah, so as far as my notes go, I really dig how, like I said, kind of in the last one, I really like, as much as it's frustrating, I do really like how the intro track rolls right into this one, and it's not like a total, like a tonal shift, like right away, you know, because that intro track got me on such a good, like, hype vibe, ready to go, I think this song does a really good job of carrying that momentum that they set up in that intro track. The only thing I didn't really care for is I think the drums were a little flat. And just lately, as I'm trying to appreciate music more, percussion's what I've been focusing on a lot. Just my ear is kind of tuned to it right now. So I don't know necessarily if the drums are just a little plain or if that's just me being a little bit overcritical, but
okay. All right.
You are the drummer, Nate. So you would know.
We'll get there. Actually I have a lot to talk about with the drums in my notes, but, cool. Brando, give it to me.
There's an immediate sound and production upgrade from the previous album. Like it, you can definitely tell the band has more money to invest into better production. And it is by and far a drastic improvement from the first album. And that is, like, so welcome. Not saying that the first album necessarily sounded bad, but man, when you have this big of a jump, it's always very good to hear. It's funny, I mentioned the drums as well, but the thing that I keyed in on was the marching. It felt like they were like there's a marching element.
Yeah.
And I just felt like that was like, this song was like marching us into the next chapter of the band. It's like, we heard what had come before. We all mentioned on the previous album and on the episode how, maybe the whole album could be just like a big sermon from a church thing of him up there. Each song is kind of like the next verse or whatever he's preaching about. But mm-hmm. And you know, it really helped develop the sound. And, but I'm going to talk about this a little bit more later. This is an album where it really gets defined about what their sound is and will be. And I feel like if you are to look at the band now and what the band has done in the last previous records, I think it leans more heavily into what they did on this record as far as their growth rather than the first record. The first record established the difference with them and what the different elements they were bringing into rock. This album
what made them unique.
Yes. This album, yep. Maybe like they started figuring stuff out, and it's really neat to hear this next evolution of it. But also there's a nice little chunky little riff there with those drums just kind of go along with it. It's a pretty good little track here.
Alrighty. Andy, what do you have for us?
One of the first things I wrote was, aside from the awesome transition from the first track, I just put mighty riff. The lyrics are so on brand, and it's just kind of showing you what's familiar and what's more stronger, which other people have mentioned, like this album has more production. This song, I felt, is like got a brighter tone to it, if that makes sense, where Opus just kind of dragged. It wasn't bad, but there's just so much more going on. It's one of my favorites to hear live just because the Gullet backing vocals are amazing. And I just really appreciate all the little organs and the bell chimes, and the ending is my favorite, that last little bell that comes out. I think that's really, really neat for that.
Awesome. So my thoughts are kind of along the lines of what everybody has already said. The seamless transition, humongous fan. Like, so here, just quick story time. Brando used to do an awesome thing and burn me CDs back in the day. And this is like some old school pirate.
You're
shit,
showing
like
our age, Nate.
Yeah, bro, I'm doing it. But like some old school pirate shit. But he, whatever program he used at the time, Brando, you'll be able to enlighten us. He was able to do like seamless transitions out of one song into the next. So like he could make it like an album where. And it became one of my favorite things to hear how songs blend together. So when a band takes the time to go, hey, we're not just, you know, maybe they wrote the whole song as one piece and thought, mm-hmm. maybe we can split it up here and make it cool and people will appreciate it more. It works very well. The synth undertone throughout the song is fucking incredible. It's very light, but it is in there. Brando hit the marching snare / toms that happen in the chorus, which I love. The drum beat switching in the interlude, I think, is absolutely fire. And then to lastly say something about the vocals, the harmony with the high pitched, like I can't hit it, but you guys know it's like the highest high pitch when they're doing the per esper ad infari. Like, man, it raises the hair on my fucking arms, y'all. Like, it gets me. It's one of those things. Like, it literally just like triggers my brain in such a way. I'm really hopeful that when I see them in August, they play this. I'm not necessarily expecting it. I've kind of seen what they've been doing on the Impera tour, which the set is phenomenal. So I'm excited either way. But you know, they've been doing some weird, surprising shit. Like, they've already started playing We Don't Need Another Hero live, which they just debuted. So let's talk about our ranks. I'll throw it out there first. I gave it an 8.66.
Interesting.
Yeah. Andy.
I also gave it an 8.6.
Whoa!
Yeah.
All right.
Brando.
I gave it a 7.5.
Okay, TY?
I gave this one an even 7.
Okay. I like it. All right. Next up, we are going on to Secular Haze, a third song on the album. We're going to kick it off with Andy here. I want to know what her thoughts are on the third track.
Well, I think this is one of the first ones that had a music video, if I'm not mistaken. So you have that ominous vintage kind of look to it, which I can appreciate for this song. But the song by itself, I wasn't too big of a fan of. Like, it does intrigue me, like that interesting choice of drum beat and guitar sounds that kind of makes it seem like a creepy circus. It's like, oh, that's very cheeky for ghosts. That's totally a ghost thing. But for me, it just got like a little bit repetitive. But the vocals are really nice in the chorus. I love the tone in his voice. And also I noticed on the vocals, I don't know if anybody else could hear it, it kind of had that old-timey radio effect. I could totally see this coming out of like an old antique radio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, like that transistor distortion or whatever.
A little bit of static like in there.
The tinny. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, and I really also appreciate the way the guitar sounds. It's not like my favorite song, but it's all right. And it, funny enough, a lot of people had requested our band to play the song. We just never got around to it. So I don't know. Maybe there is some love out there for Secular Haze.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the intro with the keys fucking slays. Like, it sets the mood for this song. To talk on, you know, it's interesting because I actually didn't know there was a video for this. Completely oblivious. So I wrote 70s metal at its finest because that's what it feels like. It has like a cream or like fucking
old Blue
Oyster. Yes, Blue Oyster Cult vibes type. Mm-hmm. The guitar is very slithery. It is so slithery. Wow, 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 wow. Like, oh, it just gets me. The bass into the chorus is awesome. And then to talk about the chorus, that chorus is so incredible. It's just simple, but hits very well. In my opinion, the droning in the song, where there's a lot of the same tone in his voice, creates a tension. But then they do this thing where they cut to just the keys and the vocals, or just the keys towards the end of the song. And that, like, I love when songs do that, when everything else gets taken away and you just have one instrument highlighted. You're going to get me every time. T.Y., my guy.
I'm right along with you there. I gotta agree with Andy a little bit. You know, one or two verses of the song cut out, and I probably would have ranked it a little bit higher. The organ and the keys in the beginning, they were so good as the song progressed. It's basically all I could focus on until it got to that chorus. I do really dig it. Just one of those that I think suffers from being just a little bit too long.
And Brando.
The circus type organ isn't really my style, but it fits for what they're going for. Again, the production of sound choices here, which have already been mentioned, using different effects and is overall such an improvement over, you know, what has been done before. And also the vocal melodies across the songs we've heard, but also I started to really notice it here. The vocal melodies are starting to improve for what, like him, like just changing around how he's going to sing. And it, of course, that would almost kind of start to become a style within itself. And just his very unique way of just coming across with the vocal melody is really neat. And it definitely lays the ground with ground for what's, you know, to come. I probably also would have ranked it a little higher. This song was like, man, teetering on being really good and maybe just kind of overstayed its welcome just a tad, and that kind of affected the rating.
Okay. So what is your rating then, bro?
7.75.
All right. We'll back it up to T.Y.
7.25.
Andy.
Just a flat 7.
I gave it an 8.25. I really dig the song. Again, this album to me, it was a really weird timing of things. The first album of Ghosts had come out, and I don't really think I knew much about them other than I had seen some of the imagery on the internet and was like, huh, I don't know about this. And then my ex-girlfriend at the time introduced me to the band. This was one of the two songs that I was shown right away. And yeah, it definitely hit me a little bit harder, I guess. I really dig the song. Let's move on to track 4. I'm just going to kick it off. Gigolo Har Medijo. That's hard. That's not easy to say, just being real.
I think you put the D where the G's were, and the G's where the D's were.
Megiddo. Megiddo.
See, again, I'm glad you're hosting and not me.
Yeah, it's hard.
I'm sure way worse.
Yeah, put it on me. Thanks. I think this song is very bouncy and poppy. The main riff of the song is definitely an earworm. I think that, not every time does a band nail solos for a song. Like, they don't always hit the feel. I'm sure they enjoyed the solo. They obviously picked it for the live thing, but sometimes they leave something on the table. This is not one of those solos. I think they wrote the perfect solo for this song. The synth Moog thing in the like post solo is cool when it's like beedle doo doo doo. Yeah, it's cool. Tobias's vocals are starting to get spookier and haunting as he dives deeper into this album. Like you guys were saying earlier, he's really starting to unleash his range and his ability to harness not just like if you go listen to Subvisions, there's a very like straight line way his vocals are. And this, he's really deep dipping into different parts of his voice that we haven't heard yet. And this is where he really starts to come into his own. The harmony and vocals with the synth for this song are like, oh, chef's kiss. Perfect, perfect, in my opinion. Yeah, love this song. T.Y., you're next.
Dude, you took like 90% of what I was going to say. The age old gotcha. I like how funky the first half of this song is. When you were talking about the post solo, when the synth and the keys are doing their little funky noodling back and forth, that really, really got me. Especially because I like how, at least, you know, maybe in the first track, I thought the drums were a little bit plain, but I like now on top of his, you know, we're obviously getting, like we said, we're getting to see a lot more of his range. So, sorry, I'm having a stroke. We're getting to see so much of Tobias's range. And then on top of that, it's not also stealing the show. The synth is still shining. The drums are good. I dug the solo. So yeah, I'm really liking how they're putting it together.
Alrighty, let's move on to Brando.
All right, folks.
Whoa.
I don't dislike it. I want to preface this, but I do feel like that this is the first song that doesn't elevate from what has come before or after. It kind of like maybe takes a slight step back, and I'm going to say something here that I hope you guys can understand the way that I'm saying it, because there are positives and negatives to this light. If you have a band that has a certain tone or sound or like ghost identifiable identity with the sound, you know, they're definitely forging that sound from the first album, this album, and there on forward. When you hear a ghost song from here on in, you're going to have certain elements that identify it as a ghost song. You're going to instantly hear it. If you hear it, even when they started getting played on the radio, it's like, yeah, that's Ghost. All right, cool. You know, then you get into it. Sometimes, though, when you get songs that maybe just aren't on par with maybe some of the better songs, they kind of just kind of float into the background a little bit. And I kind of feel like that's what happened to this song. It just, we've already heard these elements and I'm hearing it again. It's not bad, but it doesn't stand out because what has come before and after is just a little bit better, in my opinion.
Okay.
Andy, what's up?
Sup? This is one of my favorite intros to a song. I love the drums and the guitar coming in with that. I don't call it whining, but there's some kind of organ sound going on. It's got very playful lyrics. I kind of agree that it, not necessarily that it goes into the background with the other tracks, it kind of sidesteps. Because when I was listening to this song, I was already, because I know we know everything already. Other stuff has come after this. I see it as bleeding into the next stage of Ghost. Like, I see this as a very Papa 3 song. Like, I don't see this as Papa 2's. So I feel like this lightness, that's why it doesn't exactly match up. Or maybe it doesn't fit with everybody else. I did put that I did like the solos. The ending is my favorite part. It does get a little bit, maybe a tiny bit repetitive, but it's so much fun to sing and so much fun to play around stage with. So I enjoyed it overall.
Awesome. Let's get that rank. Where did you rank it?
6.2.
All right. Brando.
7.
TY.
6.2.
Wow. I'm 2 for 2 here, matching people.
Yeah.
I gave it an 8.
Nate. Ooh. Nate with the 8.
Yeah, goddamn right, bro. We're going to go on to track 5 now. I'm just going to start. Goulet, Zombie Queen. Holy shit. First of all, piano. Man. Like, emotionally pulls you in, and you are not expecting it from this band. Especially, like, in 2013, listening to this album. Whoa. Take your breath away type, like, choke you up shit. Vocally, the best vocal performance of Tobias to date. Hands down. Just the way he's pulling his voice out from this deep undertone while also being light and crisp. And then he's able to transition into a whole production in the second half of the song is awesome. The transition to Zombie Queen itself is incredible, how they're able to just shift and pivot. It reminds me of Holy War's Punishment Due by Megadeth. It's just such a smooth transition. You know you're in a different song, but at the same time, it's just like it's an expected thing, kind of. The surf rock is magical. Just hits all the notes. The chorus is fucking epic for Zombie Queen. I mean, come on now. And then the bass driving throughout the song makes it. I have nothing else to say. TY, take it from me.
Sorry. Pardon me. The tempo change, especially coming from the last song, you know, the Goulet part being slower, it took me by surprise a little bit. But I love that you brought up the surf rock vibe, because that's 100%. You know, I want to do all the moves and stuff. I didn't know a better way to say that.
I knew what you meant, though.
I'm fighting for my life here, okay? but the elite level piano and just the rad guitar in the, like, the back half, I guess, of Zombie Queen, especially with the chorus on top of that, this is one of my favorites on the album.
Brando.
Have any of you ever watched Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Stay with me. When they would do the parts of the episode, and then they would have like a Peabody and Sherman short.
Mm-hmm.
What would Rocky say? And like, and now for something we hope you'll really enjoy, because it's a complete departure from the get go. Yeah, that's exactly what I wrote in my notes. Like, it's just completely different. It's a long boy, but it's a journey, and it's a fantastic track. The first half may be a little bit better than the latter track, and it's great, but there's a part of me that wants more of that first part. It's so good that it's like, man, I just want more of that. No, this is awesome. This is a neat experiment for them to do, and when a band especially in this early stages, man, they're trying to find, you know, their sound and establish that, but they still have some cool balls or even intuition to try something new, you know, to do that transition into like two different songs into one. And how do these play off of each other? That's a really mm-hmm. neat dynamic to kind of get to play with.
Absolutely. Agreed. Andy, give it to
us. I never really was enthusiastic about this track. I don't know what it was. I don't know if too many people hyped it for me, but after sitting down and doing this podcast, I really came to appreciate it. Like, echoing what everybody else has said, the piano, unexpected, pretty. But I feel for me, as I'm listening to the previous songs, everything's real high energy and that just kind of drops off. Maybe I would have preferred another song right in front of it to kind of help me transition. But definitely when Zombie Queen kicks in, I'm all for it. Like that's the energy that I was already previously in. So that's where I want to be. I can really appreciate what he's trying to do. Like everybody else has said, he's trying to figure it out. And now all these funky little things have just become, well, that's a ghost track, because now he's doing something different we didn't expect. Mm-hmm. So it's a good track. I just, not one of my favorites, and I'm glad I gave it another listen.
Awesome. Let's get the ranks officially. We'll go backwards. Andy, what is the, what's the rank?
6.
Brando.
8.25.
TY.
7.75.
Let's blow the lid off this sumbitch. 10.
Ooh, dang it, Nate.
First 10.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
song.
That's our first 10 from anybody.
I said 10.
So awesome there, Nate. Awesome there.
Amazing. All right, let's move on to, how fitting. Year zero. Let's kick it off with Andy. Let's talk about it.
What a track. I really, really love this track. It's definitely got some more favor for me over the years, but because it just has all the perfect elements for me, the satanic lyrics, the Latin, you know, the choir, all the high energy, but then all the funky little guitar solo, you know, and the drums. I just feel like it's a well-oiled ghost song, if you will. And I can't get enough of it. I love it live. This another call to arms type of song. When you hear that chanting come on, everybody's like, oh shit, looking around at the shows, it's gonna happen. So I don't know, I really, really love this track. It's one of my favorites.
I definitely can share that sentiment. Haunting intro. Whew, sets it right, you know. The great layer building, and it has an unbeatable groove, literally. Like even just doing it like that, you guys immediately started bopping your head because it's fucking perfect.
Yeah, every one of us, I looked up. Every
one of us. Let's fucking go. Ready to
like,
go.
this song officially was my first exposure to Ghost. And I remember hearing it and I was like, what the fuck did I just listen to? I need to hear it like 10 more times. Who is this band? Why have I not ever given them a chance before? And I dove like head first. And I'm really honestly glad I did, because they get me. This had the most epic of choruses, in my opinion, just nails it. When he's singing Arcangelo and he just lets it out like, oh, get it. The solo intro bridge is chilling to the bone. The musical break with the solo of the vocals at towards the end where it's da da and he just sings da, oh man, da, da, da. And interestingly enough, I said it has a haunting outro as well. So it's like it has a haunting intro, it has a haunting outro, it's like a perfectly haunting song, it has a great unbeatable groove in the middle. It is quintessential Ghost. Like this is the band. Like this is what I will always associate as their sound, you know, and I judge everything kind of off of this song. TY, give it to me.
I love almost everything that you said, Nate. The only place I disagree is the outro. And I'm saying this at the beginning because I don't want to lose this thought, because I will. ADHD. but I just, the outro itself is just a little bit slow for me. I mean, I get it too. We've talked a bunch about how their transitions and the way they're stopping and starting and doing different stuff is changing and evolving, and I get it. It's just not my favorite part. But I tell you what, that intro right into the guitar, like we talked about, just the menacing tone that they carry throughout the song. And when I did my initial ranks and I wrote my notes down, at that time, this song had 69 million plays. Nice. On Spotify.
Ah!
It's over 70 million now, which just goes to show, you know, I think I wrote down the rank for the song about a week ago. So in a week, there are 10 million people listen to the song. I think that's a pretty good testament, or But that's a pretty good testament to how good this song is what I was trying to say.
Absolutely. Brando.
Is that Ghost I Hear? Is this, yeah. Okay, so, but be completely honest, my introduction to Ghost was about an album after this. And I never really dove backwards. I kind of just like, I would hear new songs. And then, you know, when the new album, when Prequel came out, I listened to the full album. All right, cool. And moved on. You know, when the, you know, last one came out, listened all the way through it, maybe a few more times because I really, really dug that one more. But I never really went back. So this is my first time hearing this song. And it's Ghost. Straight up Ghost. Like, this is the, like, first track so far. Like, that has cemented it. I mean, come on. The moment you hear it, it's unmistakable. It's Ghost. That chorus is catchy as fuck.
Yep.
And the way that he sings it, the way that he delivers it, it's great. It's dark. It's foreboding. It's everything that you want. And it's obviously, to some extent, been kind of what, when you're going to go write a new Ghost song, maybe what you're going to refer to when you're looking for a catchy radio single, which where they weren't really breaking through yet and on the US charts yet, but they do and they will. And when you go backwards, this song could be right with any single one of them that have gone up and been popular on the rock charts. This song could be right there with them. And that's a testament because they were not getting through yet, whether or not it was to their imagery, to their lyrical content, or maybe they just hadn't yet caught the ear of the mainstream listener yet, but somehow, some way, they pierced through that veil, and it's a shame because this song should be right there with them.
All right, let's get it. Let's get our ranks. Brando, give it to me.
9.5.
Give it to yourself.
9.5.
Okay. TY.
9.5.
Andy.
9.9.
Oh, gave it a 9.95. So three times you've matched with somebody's rank on a weird number thing. That's crazy.
Love that.
So, sorry, I kind of missed that. What was Andy's rank?
9.9.
Okay, that's what I thought. And then you, did you rank it the same?
9.95.
Oh. Okay, see, there's all these nines and fives. I'm getting all confused. I'm like, I want to make sure I get calculated correctly. All right, cool. Yes.
All right, 5.9.
Oh, all right. 995. Wow.
I'm giving it a 5 out of 7. Perfect score. Okay, track 7, Body and Blood, TY, take it away.
Just a moment here. Scrolling, scrolling, scrolling.
All right, Limp Bizkit.
Nice.
Alrighty. That one hurt, Nate. That was
total dad vibes. I know.
Maximum level dad joke there.
I only gave you a step joke because my real joke left when I was 6. Okay.
Ooh. He left to get milk. Anyway. What a spooky jam. I dig it. The guitar. Okay. So the guitar is what really does it for me, I think. And if you give me just a second here. Sorry, my computer was making a noise that I did not like.
It was trying to kill itself.
Yeah, technical difficulties always. But the middle, looking like a minute and a half, 2 minutes, I think is right around the time that, figure out how to articulate this. The snare's just kind of doing their thing, and then his vocals are just kind of flat. I don't know. I just don't really dig the center part of the song. The beginning and the end I'm cool with. It's just right in the middle. It just kind of seems flat. And then he goes into like the higher, higher pitch singing right into the guitar solo. I don't know. It just, the middle of the song just doesn't kind of sit very well with me.
Okay.
I didn't have a really good way to say that.
It's okay. You said it fine. You've just done a great job. Brando.
Thanks, Nate.
I agree with the funky. I wrote that the intro sounds like someone sneaking down a corridor in a movie.
Okay.
Like it sounds like straight out of an 80s soundtrack. Da, 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 da. Or like maybe it's a Looney Tunes thing. I don't know. Not sure what's worse. But it's got a catchy chorus and it's groovy and funky. It's a good follow up because it's not quite what Year Zero is, but it, I actually raised the rank on it a little bit when I listened to it, again a few days ago, which is funny because if we would have recorded when we wanted to, it would have got a little bit lower, but I nudged it up just a tad.
Okay. Andy, where are you at?
I was remembering that during this song and a lot of the shows, they would do like communion service. And I thought that was really, really cool of them to kind of incorporate that. Mm. I wasn't around for that. That would have been awesome. But I wrote down that it's bringing back kind of the creepy circus vibes again, just maybe not as how I found them annoying previously. But I think he sounds really good here. His vocals are very clean and lovely. I thought they were. I love the solo and what the rhythm guitar is doing. And my favorite parts are right before the last chorus. And I really like the lyrics because it talks about eating flesh and things like that. So we're going back to a little bit of maybe Opus vibes. We're still this creepy band. We're experimenting with things, but we're still kind of sinister in a fun way. So I appreciate it, but I didn't have too much to say about it.
Okay. For me, first thing I wrote is strings, because it's first time we're really getting strings like this in a Ghost song, and it's really cool. I really love the dichotomy of the plucked strings to the very chunky guitar intro. Again, to me, this gives total 70 vibes in the chorus. My one main takeaway, I put this in my notes. I really think you could play this song in like a Christian church and totally make them think it was a Christian song, and they would really not have any. Like, if someone was really paying attention to the lyrics, they'd be like, wait, what did he just say about eating flesh? But like the chorus and everything, they would be all hyped for it. It would be a total experience. Like, he really taps into that like worship and praise side of music and gets you. You know how I know this song is subtly like very worship praisey is because it's in my fucking head when I don't expect it to be. And it's not even the best song on the album. It's a good song, but it's not the best song on the album. Why am I at work singing Body and Blood? Like, what? But it happens. And it's because they have that little bit of the worship thing in there that gets just stuck in your brain. You can't, it's like on repeat. But that's all I had to say about that one. I gave this song a 7.23. Andy, what about you?
I saw that look, Brando.
TY.
6.25.
Brando.
I gave it an 8. Andy, I missed your rank.
6.5.
6.5.
That's my fault.
Yes, it was.
Talked over you. Total asshole move, my bad.
So rude.
Son of a bitch. Track 8. We are there. Idolatrine. Brando, kick it off.
Starting to go downhill a little bit here. I didn't enjoy this as much as the previous tracks. And I kind of said my notes here. I wrote them here that I kind of like echoed what I wrote for like Gigolo or Gigololo. Yeah.
Gigolo?
I'm starting to feel like I've heard this song before, but I can't place it. And it's like, it's nothing like egregious to the ears necessarily, but it's, I don't know. It's not, it didn't grip me. Like you had like really the last three tracks have been really like pretty strong. I mean, you had, you know, like even the last one, maybe, as I said, was kind of maybe a step down from Year Zero, but still, like Nate said, it's catchy. It's in your head. It's got the elements there. And this one, I don't know. It didn't hit for me, Nate.
It, yeah, okay. We'll get there. Andy.
This one surprised me. I've been calling it my dark horse of a song. Mm-hmm. It just really wormed its way into me. Like you were saying on the previous track, well, this is, I catch this one in my head. This is the one that I was like, I don't. Like just singing it constantly in my head. And I love the lyrics on this one too. It's just like the playful way he just sings all these dark, demented lyrics. And the, oh, the suffer little children part is one of my favorite parts. It's like, gonna come get your kids a Pied Piper type of vibes to it. Mm-hmm. What else did I write? I did put that it does remind me of Opus in some ways, and the chorus is catchy. Oh, the solo. I almost forget about this solo, and I think it's one of the better Ghost solos, in my opinion. There's just something so tasty about it, and I love the tone of it. And I guess that's why it became like a dark horse song for me. It's just like, oh, it's a simple track, but it just does something to me.
No, I'm going to echo what you're saying there. I love the drum-led epic chaos in the beginning of the song that just kicks at the door in. I think that the vocals are very poppy throughout. And when he does the little princes and princesses, gets me every time. I'm like, yep. The chorus is simple but very catchy. Again, it's one of those that does become an earworm very easily. I think this song, if you rank this low or if you're listening to the show and you're like, I don't really fucking like this song, I want you to put the headphones on.
I don't like this.
Yeah.
So aggressive.
I want you to put the headphones on, and when you're listening to this specific Ghost song, think The Doors. Don't think Ghost. And it is such a fucking little tasty niblet of a song that has Doors vibes and influences. Mm-hmm. That's what I think really kind of gave me a slightly higher ranking for this one. T.Y., you are a closer on the tune.
Dude, I love that you brought The Doors into it, because that's exactly what I've got in my notes. Those organ runs and just the overall vibe of the song, it's 100% Doors All Day. I love the drum work in the opening of the song. Like you said, Nate, finally, for me anyway, you know, you said it kicked the door. They kicked the door down, right? Something along that line. That's 100% how it felt, because to me, just overall on quite a few of the songs, there's been at least a tendency in my mind to just kind of forget about the drums, because the vocal harmonies and the organ runs and the piano and all that, there's a lot going on. And I think this is a good one for me that there's so much going on that it kind of makes it a little bit hard to pay attention to some of it. But not a bad song by any means, I don't think.
Awesome. Let's get it. Go ahead. Hit me with them rankies.
6.25 for me.
I gave it a 7.25 for me. Andy, what about yourself?
6.36.
And Brando.
Gave it a 6. Nate, okay. Before we carry on, I literally, when you were saying put your headphones on, I thought you were about ready to say pull out your Zunes. And I was going to like you were about going to make, no, stop it.
Yes.
Yeah, motherfucker. And it's live and it works. No,
I forgot
shit.
About those.
Dude, my Zune is the fucking bomb. I'm going to pull this up on the Zune right now to just like really go old school on Brando's ass. How about this? How about this, Brando? Let's pull out this nugget of a jam. You can't hear it, obviously.
I can't believe you still have a working Zune.
I have two working Zunes. My fucking 30 gig works too.
Dude, both of mine don't work anymore. God, I miss this thing, though.
Brando, can you see?
Oh, shit.
Reflection.
Oh, shit. Yeah, yeah.
Old band shit on the fucking Zoom,
in theaters,
baby.
Yep. Wow.
All right, let's move on. Get our shit together.
I don't know. I'm not sure if the Zoom can help us sound better, but...
maybe, you know, oh, yeah. It probably would.
Okay.
It's on there.
Well,
anyways,
then, I mean, I guess that's just it. Like, other people just didn't hear us on the Zune, and that's why they didn't.
Hey, Brando, you know, I ranked the entire Metallica discog from
on
the Zune.
Damn Zune.
Real shit.
People had to take three shots every time that you mentioned it. Yeah.
Zune. I'm just going to keep doing it. It still exists, that drinking Zune game. Anyways, let's move on to Depths of Satan's Eyes. What a name for a track, track nine. Brando, let's kick
it
off.
Man, that chunky riff. That chunky riff. And this is a tone refresher from the last couple. Like, it definitely is different, a little heavier. It's a nice, simple, catchy solo, and it's got to be one of the first songs I've ever heard in a lyrical sense, Swamp of Feces.
Yep.
Threw me
yep,
off.
That would be the one.
God, I'm sitting here like bobbing my head like, did he just say Swamp of Feces? And then the next line, something about flatulates? I'm like, what? Oh, you know what? I didn't dock it for that. I didn't dock it for it. I was digging the song, and then that threw me off. It kind of made me, and I'm driving, and I can only wonder if people could see my reaction. I'm just, what? And then I start laughing like so hard because I'm so like immature, and but I love it. It's cool. Like you got one over on me, Ghost. You got one over on me, and.
You got me.
Definitely inspected, but I dig it, man. It's nice and chunky.
All right. Hey, Andy.
Like Brando said, chunky, a little bit different. I like how it almost feels like his vocals just glide despite whatever he's singing about. I wrote in capital letters. I was like, fade out, because this is one of the only ones, I guess, that fades out. So the last time we were doing that, it's fade out. And I actually think it works for the track. And I also put down that I liked how sinister the guitar sounds are. I guess that goes back to maybe the chunkiness or something going on with the riff and the solo bridge. And one of my favorite parts is the little vocalization there. That gives very creepy vibes, very horror movie vibes. So it wasn't like a super strong track for me, but I could appreciate it.
I wrote, how is this so groovy? Like, what? Go, stop being so groovy again. The earworms, they keep doing it to me. Tobias's vocals in this song are captivating. In my opinion, again, what is this track? It's like a weird, like, not even a B-side. It's like a deep cut. They probably don't play it live. I would love to hear them fucking play it live. I would mark the fuck out. I love that it sets the tone with the music, and then the lyrics hit perfectly with the music, right? The shift during the ah-ah-ah-ah-ahs is amazing. It has almost like a Coheed and Cambria kind of weird alt vibe that it jumps into, like alt universe style, and then kicks itself back into the song. As I am ranking this song, a big-ass storm was hitting. The lights were flickering like crazy, and it was awesome, but also kind of scary, because I'm like, of all the tracks, why are you doing it now? Lights are flickering. I'm like, fucking no. I was wondering if Satan was going to be like, so your soul, we were going to talk about that. Sell it. Are you in? You out? What's the market deal? But let's move on. TY, what's your thoughts?
I don't have a whole lot to add. Call me old El Paso, because this song is chunky.
New York City.
I knew I'd get Brando with that one. Overall, this one just did not do it for me. It's really all I'll have to add.
Okay, well then add what the hell you ranked it.
5.5er.
Double fiver. Andy.
5.95.
9 fiver.
Brando?
7.5. Nate, what did you give it?
8.24.
Nate.
I think you're just fucking with me now.
I know.
8.42.
No, the 2.4 is because the lights flickered. It fucked me up. I was like, I'm deducting a point of a point.
Gotcha.
It was 2.5, and then I was like, ugh.
You could say his ranks, 9.95, 7.23, 8.24, hut, hike.
Yeah, there you go.
It secretly is the Buffalo Bills playbook that I'm reading from. I'm not even ranking songs. Oh, you guys weren't supposed to know that. Anyways, let's allegedly move on to the actual album finale, unless you were an iTunes listener at the time or now later a Spotify listener, because you can get the bonus track. Let's talk about Monstrance Clock. T.Y., kick it off, my dude.
I love the intro to this song. And I think for me, it's definitely one of the better songs on the album. What a way to finish it. Pulling up some metrics here. It's got 28 million plays on Spotify. That's,
wow.
That's a lot. Year Zero's got 70 million, like I said. So definitely a good comparison. The next closest, track 4, Gigolo Har Migado, or however we say it. But yeah. I think the best way to just kind of sum up everything that I have is just, to me, this is the most complete and solid track on the album. There's not really anything that I absolutely want to mark out over, but there's also nothing that, for me, just kind of, I really, really enjoy this album. I think I've just been a little bit overly critical of it, so... it's just super solid. I think this is a good one.
Brando,
read carefully. If you're driving along and you're just like, oh, what's this song called? Well, what? Monstrous Clock. You gotta be careful, because when you glance at your phone on the I-65, you give your phone a quick double take. Well,
darnation.
Well, the last song just talked about swamp of feces. I would not necessarily be surprised if he had a song called that other word.
Sure.
However, you know what? That's the greatest thing about doing this podcast. You know, this podcast would be really boring if we all just agreed on everything.
Yes.
Because I disagree with Tyler. I don't really dig this one. I do like the whisper chorus change up, which saved it from being a bit lower for me. I mean, I sound negative, but when I look at my rank, it's teetering positive. So it's like there's nothing necessarily egregious on this album. It's not like we're listening to Van Halen 3. So it's a bit weird when you have criticism to point something out that you have a point to make, and people are like, well, I thought you were going to give that a much lower score. It's like, well, I don't hate it. I just, he said what he liked about it, and I can kind of agree with that. I'm say what I don't like
just
about
it. Just because we like or dislike something doesn't necessarily mean that the numerical value is going to necessarily reflect that. 100%.
Absolutely, because you know? I definitely think this album's solid. Like it's
for sure
pretty darn good, and a definite step up from the previous album. So
yeah,
Monstrous Clock, folks. There's an L in there.
Andy, what's your vibe?
Another groovy track, definitely. I really like take on what everybody else said. The intro, like the way he's coming in vocally. And I think this song blends a little bit of Zombie Queen. So it's got a little bit of the past and the current. And I feel like this kind of throws him on a trajectory for future songs as far as creativity goes and lyrical content. I feel like a lot of people identify with this song, or at least I really throw myself into it, because they're always promoting like happiness, self-pleasure, you know, just go do you. And that's why they've used it so much, I think, with the closer for so many years on their shows. I don't think it would work now, Grant, like they've got so many more great songs and more high energy songs. But I really like this track, and I almost forgot how great the guitars sound here. I was like, oh, this is why I love this song. Aside from just getting lost in the vibe and the moment of it. So to go again on what everybody else said, I'm glad for this podcast because I've really delved into this album and I really appreciate it. And I hadn't done that before. So to wrap it up with Monstrance Clock, you know, I'm really happy with it.
Excellent. Back it up a little bit. If you've listened to Ceremony and Devotion, which is the live Ghost album from 2017, we won't be ranking that, I don't believe, because it's just a straight, they didn't do anything extra special or weird or bizarre or anything like that. But they talk about really what this song is actually about, which is the female orgasm and
pleasure, and he says to go home and fuck each other, just so everybody knows, just so everybody's aware where they're coming from. They want this big, like, unity idea, right? Crazy.
Hell yeah.
So, like, what you're saying is that my misread wasn't that far off.
That's kind of where I was. That's weird how it worked out. But yeah, it's pretty much what you, I'm glad you didn't wreck your car on that. And, you know, we didn't get to this moment. But the post chorus slash solo interlude is awesome. There's one thing I needed to talk about throughout the song. It's the snare drum. There's this little, like, triple hit. Ta ta ta. Ugh, I love it. I love almost marching drums in a non-traditional marching sense, and that is definitely a technique for marching drums that I absolutely love within the song. The organ with the vocals is unsettling. The ending is epic but very simple, because it just slowly peels itself like an onion, heavy to everybody, to less instrumentation, to just the vocals, to, you know, the music, and then music all by itself. The quintessential Ghost song yet again. Absolutely love this song. I will kick off the rank. Track 10 gets a 10. Let's move to Andy.
8.8.
T.Y.
8.75.
Brando.
6.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. As I said, like, it teeters to net positive. You know, it's over.
It's
the
a C minus to you.
It's over the hump, but I just didn't really dig it as much as almost everything else on the album. Like, even the previous tracks where I kind of felt like middle of the road, like, which could really beat middle of the road rank, they had enough there that kind of gave it some bonus points, and this does too.
Excellent. So we are now at the one bonus track that was, again, initially released on iTunes, and then you can find it on Spotify now. So if you haven't yet heard it as a Ghost fan, please go find yourself listening to it to at least have the experience of being exposed to the song, because it's different. Andy, go ahead and kick it off with La Mantra Mori.
I hadn't really heard this one, maybe just in passing if I plopped back into listening. Oh, the song is playing, you know. I am pulled into it initially, but as it continues and it's just kind of the same chorus, I just kind of get lost. I feel like maybe something else could have been done with this song. But that being said, I feel it does put a nice cap to the album, even though if Monstrous Clock was the closer, this one's like, oh, we're finishing up here, kind of echoing an intro track or maybe like an opus track. And I was studying the lyrics a little bit. I was like, is this like talking about Papa 2's exit? Are you foreshadowing Copia a little bit? So I thought that was a little bit interesting. But overall, I didn't really like really vibe with it other than initially in the beginning.
I kind of can share those sentiments. I put ultra 70s vibe intro guitar. Definitely has that again. Kind of Doors-esque with the way the organs happen throughout. However, vocally, it's just too goddamn repetitive. You'll lose me on it, because what that says to me is we had this great fucking idea and then lost it and became uninspired with our lyrics, but we still released it with an idea. Just take a little time and then release it once it's polished. You could have released this from Meloria and it would have been cool with a whole verse and a whole chorus that actually made some sense, not droning consistently. The guitar layers in the song are pretty fun. It's pretty much the one thing that saves it for me. That's my thoughts. T.Y.
I think I actually took some good, really good notes for this one, because I listened to this track a bunch of different times. I really, really wanted to like this. Like Andy said, it grabs you right away. It's menacing. Like you said, Nate, the 70s-esque guitar intro. It's really cool. It's different. I haven't heard it in a long time. And then I think that, you know, the fact that it's a Spotify, you know, like we all have touched on the fact that not a lot of people have heard this. It only has just a touch over 3 million plays on Spotify. So not a lot of people have heard it as far as this platform's concern. If they would have just made this an instrumental, how good would this have been just strictly instruments. You know, not that his vocals are bad by any means, but you guys hit the nail on the head. It's just too repetitive. It's just, there's not enough there. But I think if you strip that away and just had this as a totally instrumental track, that it'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I can definitely jive with that. Brando.
Boy, I'm going to get repetitive by saying this, but it got a bit repetitive for my taste. It has a long intro for a song that doesn't really go anywhere. And that was the biggest criticism I have of it. It's got some interesting themes here, which prevent it from scoring ultra low for me, but it doesn't really go anywhere. And, you know, I felt like you could scratch it entirely and you would not harm the record. In fact, I feel like this will actually bring my score down just a tad because the fact that it's on here. I did not know it was a bonus track. I thought this was the closer, and I'm like, I was a bit disappointed. And after knowing that that there is a version of, like, the deluxe version has, like, one of the covers off the EP that we're going to cover here in a minute. And after this, I would have scratched this and just put the cover on there, and it would have been a much stronger end. Or, much to like Tyler, it would have been cool to have, like, an outro track if it's just instrumental. It would have been probably better, because then I would have been more more interested.
Yeah, I think really it would have been, you know, like perfect bookends. That intro was so good. You put something really solid at the very end with track 10, plug this in as your fading out intro or outro, whatever you want to call it, and bam, you got something good.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and get our ranks for this one. Brando, we'll start with you, my guy.
5.
T.Y.?
5.
I gave it a 4. Andy?
5.2.
Hey.
Hell yeah, bring that number up. It deserves it.
All right. So that's
for what it could have been.
Yes, for what could be or could have been, it deserves it.
So that is the album ranked. We are going to cover the EP, which we don't cover. We don't do, like, master ranks for the EP. We just kind of rank the songs. Because the EPs are not technically albums, so we're not going to consider them in the running for the final tally. But my total album rank for this album was 7.25. Nate's was 8.07. Tyler, yours was 6.96.
Nice.
And Andy, yours was 7.17 with a master rank of 7.36. And I think that's pretty fair. It gets pretty strong right there in the middle of the album. You know, it has its peak and then it kind of has its valley. You know, it raises up and it kind of goes back down. And unfortunately with that bonus track, it does bring it down a bit. Not as bad as maybe as that track from Alice in Chains that I refused to rank because it would have ranked it down too low, but it wasn't an actual track. It was a hidden track. But before we move on here, the highest ranked song, it is no surprise. It is Year Zero at a 9.71, so 9.7. With after that would be Goulet and Zombie Queen at 8. And then for the third highest rank, well, no, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. A Monstrous Clock is higher than that with 8.3 and then Goulet and Zombie Queen. So there it is right there. And that's the album ranked. We're going to go on to the next one, right, Nate?
Yeah, we're going to move on to sort of a tradition that Ghost does now. I won't call it a tradition, but they've mostly always done it, right? They release an album, and then they'll either release a couple covers or covers and new songs or a whole new album full of covers. Well, they mostly do the album of covers. This is the If You Have Ghost LP. Well, really 5 tracks. We're not going to cover the live version of Secular Haze. We are going to cover the 4 tracks that are on it. All our covers. We're just going to get right down to it. The first track is If You Have Ghosts, which is a Rocky Erickson cover. I fucking love this cover. Actually, if you have the deluxe edition of Infestissimum, they have a version of this live. And if you've not heard this, If You Have Ghosts live, it's actually what made me like, okay, I got it. Where do I find that? And then I learned that they released this and really dove in.
Guitar tone for their cover is super crisp. They bring their own dark, unique tone to it. The solo is really solid for me. I really enjoy this cover. Let's move on to TY.
I love how the vocal effects that they've got in the intro with the violin, you know, just those quick violin strokes in the back, in the background there. It caught my attention right away. Totally did not expect it. So, yeah, I didn't take much more of the notes than that.
Brando.
Let's just, their covers are really cool to dive into because lyrically you can tell that they're written by somebody else, from the subject matter, but they do such a good job of mashing the original song style into their style that they have established. It's so, some bands will do that and it doesn't work, and it definitely works for Ghost. So far, every single cover I've heard from them has been very interesting to hear, because if you didn't know it was a cover, you wouldn't even think twice. It sounds like Ghost. So it's very Absolutely. Interesting. It's very interesting to listen to. I liked it a lot.
Let's move to Andy. What are your thoughts?
I like what Brando said about them meshing their sound into somebody else's song, because now when you hear the song, you see the name somewhere. It has become such a theme for a lot of the fans, myself included. Like, I've seen a lot of people, you know, being emotional about it and talking about how Ghost was there for them. And this is the song most of the time that people refer back to. And I really love the way it sounds. I like the way they put all that feeling into it. I wrote that it was also better than the original, just because I don't really care for the original's style. And I watched somebody react to it recently on another like reaction channel, and that was really interesting. And I like seeing people react to Ghosts. And in this track in particular, they are not rock people, don't look like rock people by any means, but even they had an appreciation for the whole imagery and the lyrics. The guy was talking about, it's like, yeah, it's talking about if maybe you've got demons in your past, or maybe you're talking about a friend. I'm like, yes, this is what it's like about, you know, this band pulling all these different people together. And that's what I really like about the song. Plus it's nice to sing and perform on. So really enjoy it.
Absolutely. Let's get that rank from you.
8.5.
Hey, Brando.
8.
T-T-T-Y.
8.
Nate gave it an 8.75.
Oh, it's getting ready to say Nate with another 8.
Okay, so before we move into the next track, which is going to be I'm a Marionette, it is worth mentioning a couple things. First of all, this released on November 20th of 2013, so about 7 months after they released Infestissimum, this album came out. 4 of the 5 tracks, like I said, are covers, the last one being the original that they do live. One thing very interesting to note is that Dave Grohl produced this. He also features on a couple different parts of this album. He drums for I'm a Marionette and I believe most of the album, actually. So they had a bunch of covers. Ghost had a bunch of covers demoed, and they were discussing if they should squeeze them onto the album. They were at a festival in Europe and The Foo was playing, and they knew Dave was a fan of their band. So they went and talked to him and were like, so you like the band? Do you want to do something? And he immediately said, yeah. And then they were in the LA studio 1 month later actually recording this. So it all kind of came together really quick. I'm a Marionette and was a B-side for Secular Haze's single. And If You Have Ghosts was included on the special edition of Infestissimum called Infestissimum Redo. Yeah, so I thought that was worth kind of throwing on there that, you know, Dave Grohl has a big role to play in this. It's really cool to see where he pops up in music in general, because he's really all over the place. Let's move on to track 2. I'm a Marionette. Brando. Rock and roll, my guy.
Copy and paste my statement in the last song and double it for this. As far as like putting their style into another song, and it, like, this works even better. Like, it sounds Ghost, and it should have ended the album. It just, like I said, if you were going to have that bonus track, have this be the bonus track. Damn. Like, if you're going to have that, do it. And I love the riff and the guitar work that they've done on this. It's really good. really catchy and again, just very interesting to hear their take on other people's work with fusing it. It's awesome to hear.
Andy, hit us with it.
Well, I put that it was better than the original one. Somehow Tobias made this song even catchier than maybe the original was. I really enjoyed the drums. There's a breakdown that I wrote about before the last verse, and I don't know, I just kind of, that kind of held me. But other than that, I didn't really feel drawn to it in any sort of way. I do agree that maybe it should have been on the album itself, because it is a strong, a good track, but just not one that I'm really attached to.
Okay. I'm going to be a suit of a different color on this. I love that Dave's drums drive the entire song. And once you know Dave Grohl is the drummer, like, you're like, oh, obviously that's his sound in that song. It is an ABBA cover. Yes, I said ABBA. That is real ABBA. But it tonally sounds so different from the original. Go listen to the original. What? That's my favorite thing about Ghost covering songs. Sometimes they take songs, you're like, how are they going to pull that off? That's going to sound corny as hell. And then it sounds amazing. This whole LP is exactly that. I just think it's so different and dark compared to the original. There's that cool solo towards the end that's just really winding and grinding. And I don't know if that's in the original, but it being added there just is, again, quintessential Ghost in my opinion. T.Y., close it out, my dude.
I'm just going to put a bow on what you and Brando said, Nate. I love this song. I love this version of this song. The drums definitely steal the show. And when I ranked this initially, Spotify has it in the deluxe edition. So to me, you know, up until we started recording, this was the album bookend, you know. So in my initial notes, I put, what a solid finisher. More drums, finally. And, you know, love it.
All right, you loved it. Get that rank.
7.75.
I gave it an 8.29. Andy.
6.
Bubba Brando.
8.
All right. I don't know why I'm Brandoing you every time. It's just like it's stuck in my head now. I got to fucking. That's a drinking game for this episode. If you catch me doing it, go back.
I need help.
Yeah, I can't stop. I'm in danger. Let's move on to Crucified, track 3 of this 5-track banger. I'm throwing it to TY first to talk about it.
I really like the acoustic in the intro. The tone of this song is much more softer, and it definitely, at least for me, the first couple times I listened to it, it almost felt like I was letting my guard down. And then the song kicks in and it gets a little bit more menacing. And is that some xylophone? Imaginary xylophone?
No, yeah. It's in there.
At first I was like, because it's such a weird thing. It's like, I remember all the time when I was a kid, just in media, like I felt like there were xylophones all over the place, and I haven't heard a xylophone in like 10 years. So it kind of took me by surprise. But overall as a song, not my favorite, I think. This is maybe, and every cover that we've listened to so far, I've really, really dug. This one maybe is just not my favorite.
All righty, Brando.
Something that's been said in each and every single song is that it's better than the original, and I really couldn't say that for the first two songs because I thought they're fine. No, this one's better. go listen to the original version, and it's not something that I would continue listening to. But the talking during the songs always makes me think of Dave Mustaine. If anybody talks in a song.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody, it doesn't matter what they're, who it is. If I hear somebody talking in a song, it almost reminds me of, like Dave Mustaine, like, hello, me, meet the real me in my misfits way of life. And it's just, it's what I think of every single time, and I can't help it. But the verses make me think of another song they should cover. And I'm trying not to laugh when I say that, because it would make me laugh, and I would love it, because I'm corny like this. Someone's Watching Me by Rockwell.
Oh, I actually
it's the
love
talking,
that.
It's talking. Like it's because it's the talking. It's mm-hmm. it's this weird little rappy talk thing he's got going on, and then mm-hmm. it's like I was listening to it, and then I started going to I'm afraid to wash my hair. But I can just imagine. Just think about what we said already with our covers. Them taking a song that just, and this is prime example. Listen to Crucify the original, and then listen to this, and you're gonna be like, this is a great song. Just by the comparison, what would they do with Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell? It would be fun and interesting, and maybe not the best song they've ever done, but they could do something with it that would be really cool. I know they have the ability to do it.
Somebody tweet Tobias and or Ghost stat when you hear this and
come
get
on.
Him on that shit.
He's got – okay, so you know he has that cool little creepy talking voice, and he's got a great mm-hmm. singing voice. And, you know, of course, Michael Jackson did the chorus for that song, so I can hear him singing, I always feel like somebody's watching me.
It would be creepy.
And,
oh,
yes,
okay.
And it would be creepy. He could take it dark and be cool with it and like – wow, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
We aren't there yet, right? Obviously, we'll cover Phantom Mime down the road. But one thing to note, from Phantom Mime, there were two songs cut, and it just kind of made me think about this, and I'll bring up the Rockwell song again here. But they cut a Misfits cover, which, you know, piqued my interest, okay?
Absolutely.
And they also cut a Motorhead cover, piano and vocals only.
Interesting.
Which should be real cool.
Yeah.
So interested to see what that ends up being. It's going to probably be released later, as Tobias said, but I bring that up to say a piano vocal only cover of Somebody's Watching Me would be the creepiest, dopest fucking thing. Like they
could do it, man. They could do
absolutely
him. They could make that song. Is it something that you hear that you just laugh at and scoff at? Like this is corny as hell. And he could take it and make it really weird.
Now we'll love him for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Andy, what are your thoughts on Crucifying?
Definitely better than the original. The original kind of struck me as what is this? I don't get it. But I think Tobias did a good job spinning it to his sound. I do feel also this one could have gone Papa 2 era on his album, just because it says Crucified in the lyrics and that growly talking voice that he does. And I also wrote down that I liked the piano additive and the xylophone. And the chorus is very catchy. You can catch me singing that all day, just walking down. Crucified. So it's a fun track. I dig it.
Let's briefly mention to folks that it is an Army of Lovers cover, just in case you go to look for the original. That is what you're looking for. Trust me, there are other songs that exist in the world called Crucified. They do not sound like this one at all. Don't do that to yourself. It is a dance jam. Let's just be real. The original is a dance jam. They turn into a metal banger. They find a way to take their style, weave it in with this song that probably should not work, and they make it work phenomenally, in my opinion. I gave this tune an 8.25. Andy, what about you?
7.
Brando.
I gave it an 8.
And T.Y.
6.9.
Nice. All right. We are at the end of this little venture here. If you have Ghost's creepy little EP, we are at Waiting for the Night. I'm leading it off with Andy as our closer.
I did not know it was a Depeche Mode cover, but that is the cover, right? Depeche Mode?
Yes.
I was like, oh, interesting. And then I felt bad for not really giving it more attention, because I like the 80s sound. I like Depeche Mode. I feel like the cover and the original kind of just float alongside each other. One was not better the other, because I liked the original. It gives me Phantom of the Opera vibes, and that's why I kind of just lean into it more, because I'm a romantic. I'm a writer and creative. So I'm like, oh, I'm just fantasizing about Papa or whatever, listening to this track. It's almost like a dark lullaby. But that being said, there's nothing really grabby about it. The vocals are smooth. I like the heaviness, but it just kind of also just continues. Maybe not as annoying as other songs have been where it's just too repetitive, but it just keeps going and keeps going. But it's a vibe, you know? But yeah, that's how I feel about that one.
Alrighty. So honestly, this is the one that of all the tracks, even though I absolutely love If You Have Ghosts, really all the songs on this album for me have different things I like about them. This is the one that's stuck in my head all the time. And there's one part. He vocally goes from like this range to a little bit higher on the Waiting for the Night to Falls. And as that's happening, the drums do this like triple hit. And then there's this like synth, just synth attack where it's like beep, beep. When that happens, all those things combine, it's like probably my favorite thing they do in a cover this far in their recording history. I'm not talking about the future and what's to come, but like to this point, they take a song that if you go, I'm so sorry in advance. Maybe I'm shitting on it a little bit, but the original Depeche Mode version is trash. I struggled to listen to it. It was like listening to sludge. I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to get through it. But all in all, I thought this cover was a step up. It's as they've been doing. They take a song, they put it through their little ghost filter, and, you know, here we are with an amazing song that just hits on different levels for me personally. Let's move on to T.Y.
It just right away... the heaviness and knowing the context of the song, or not necessarily the context, but having heard the original song before, it just it felt different enough to me that I didn't vibe it right away. I think the tempo is just a little bit too slow, and the fade out in the end I didn't really dig. Just not bad by any means, just definitely not my thing. I'm not into this one.
Okay. Brando, you're our closer on this track.
Very catchy, very ghost. I think it is a tad bit better than the original. And you know what? It's funny because that's been said a lot on here, and I wasn't really necessarily thinking that. But I think, Nate, years ago, you and I had a conversation talking about covers, and I normally don't like to say that a cover is better than the original because the original has something about it that merits a reinterpretation. Like, there's something there that is grabbing enough to warrant that. Like, it's even if the reinterpretation is better, it had a starting point, and maybe somebody else had a better idea with it. But they do such a good job with their covers. And just like Andy said, it's a vibe. It is a total vibe, and that vibe is going to be different for different people. And, you know, sometimes it hits and sometimes it doesn't. And, this one definitely hits for me.
Awesome. Well, give me the rank for its hit.
9.
Dope. T.Y.
6.25.
Andy.
6.4.
8.5.
Well, there we are. That is the If You Have Ghosts EP ranked, minus the live song. The highest ranking song on here was the opening If You Have Ghosts song at 8.3, with the subsequent three tracks, 7.5, 7.5, and 7.5.
Whoa.
So
they all tied through our like the three last songs based on our four rankings averaged, created exactly a tie.
Okay, so not exactly, because I'm a Marionette is a 7.51, so I rounded down. The next two are an exact tie, 7.5375.
Oh.
Whoa.
And we each gave them different, like, they're like, yeah.
That's awesome.
Different numbers and scores. So that's always kind of fun.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that.
Fucking awesome. Well, you know, guys, we are moving right along on this ghost thing. It's interesting to note this is probably the I'm not going to curse it, but to date, this is the quickest we've been able to record a couple episodes, you know, so I'm looking forward to Meloria being the next album. And We'll obviously cover Square Hammer on the back half of that, just like we did here. Mm-hmm. Just so you guys know what to look for when we're coming up here. I'm going to pass it over to Brando, because usually this is what he does to me, where we're going to get our little plugs out of the way, let people know where they can check us out, get our closing thoughts, get ourselves out of here, get some grub in our bellies. Let's do it.
Absolutely. Well, you have been listening to the Rank 'Em All podcast, and if you've drug your way all the way to the end of this to hear all this stuff, which where you can know where you can find us, we're on all those socials. We're out there. We're on the scope of the internet, if you will, at Rank 'Em All Podcast. We're also on all those different podcast platforms. We're on the Spotify, where you can also listen to this album and the next one and the next EP along with us. Listen and rank yourself. You can listen on Spotify. We're also on the Apple Podcasts and Amazon. We're on YouTube too. We have a cool video. On each video, I make a cool little background to fit the theme of the album. In the past, I put the album art. Now I've just put the a version of the album art for the entire background. And we've made some really cool designs for this, and going to continue that feature as we go along. But yeah, check us out on all those different platforms. And if you want to see our beautiful mugs, check out YouTube. And there's someone else on YouTube as well, right, Nate?
Yeah, Andy, give us all your amazing plugs and where everybody can find your awesome shows.
Well, you can find me on YouTube at Andy Crimson. I'm posting song covers, reaction videos, some mukbangs, some sit-downs. We talk about Ghost or anything else that I've got going on in my life. And you can follow me on Instagram at @sister_crimson. Just posting all my cosplay stuff, my fun TikToks, Ghost-related, and a bunch of other stuff. So,
amazing. Let me ask a question, because I don't remember, because we had technical difficulties last time. Did we cover on the actual show what mukbangs are, or was that lost in the?
I don't think that was recorded.
Now is the time. Here we go. Talk about it. What is a mukbang?
Mukbang started with a bunch of Korean YouTubers where they would just eat on camera, just like outrageous portions of food, maybe even some weird cuisine that maybe we're not used to, and I kind of do the very small version of that, which is just like grabbing the newest thing at fast food restaurants and just sitting down talking about a movie or something that Ghost did. It's just like a chat thing. Some people, they do challenges. They do collabs with other people. So it's just kind of evolved into its own thing.
Amazing. Well, I did not know that term, so thank you for teaching us officially, because we learned it last time, but we're only the three of us heard it initially. So the rest of the world has to actually learn if they didn't know. But I think that's going to do it for this week's Rank 'Em All. I just want to thank you guys again for joining me for this podcast. As always, I'm Nate. We've got with us Brando, TY, and Andy. We will see you folks on next episode. Stick around for more. Rank 'Em All. See you guys later.